All right, welcome back. We are just a few hours away. Tigers get their season underway, and look, I think there's a lot of excitement around this team. There's obviously a lot of growth that needs to happen because there was a disappointing season last year. But Scott Harris comes in as the new head of operations and the president for the organization. He's got a vision. It's not something that matriculates over the span of a few months. There is going to need to be building that happens here. And that's kind of where the Tigers find themselves as they are in Tampa Bay today, 3:10 first pitch against the Rays. And there are a couple of other things that I want to mention here as we bring in our good friend Dan Dickerson, the Detroit Tiger play-by-play voice. Dan, it's great to have you with us. Before we get into kind of to the nuts and bolts of the team, I want to point out a couple of the rule changes for folks. You got the bases are a couple of inches bigger. Managers are limited in where they can position their infielders, so kind of doing away with the shift. And then, of course, the pitch clock, which will regulate the how much time in between pitches. What do you make of these changes? Because obviously we saw them in spring training. It was people were in on it. People were against it. But where do you stand on it as we head into the first pitch later this afternoon?
Well, good morning. I think people are going to love it. It's like, well, will traditionalists like the clock? Guess what? After a couple of innings, you won't even realize there's a clock. All you'll realize is that the game is moving at a nice pace right now. And I that struck me. I didn't even notice the clock most games. I found myself never looking at the clock because
really?
The game just kept moving.
Yeah.
And the violations were kind of few and far between. I mean, you saw the rate drop through the course of spring, but it's amazing to me how little noticeable it is and how it cut time off games. And all the time that's being cut is dead time. And then on the shifting, I found I really liked seeing guys shifted. I don't know if you just want to make the argument on aesthetics, it's a pretty strong argument. It just looks better when you've got two infielders on both sides and you don't have a guy standing 60 feet under the outfield grass in right field who would normally be on the infield dirt. So I like the aesthetics of it. I like the way it looked. I like the way the game played. And I think both rule changes, it's a big change. I think players are adjusting, and I think fans are going to love it.
Yeah, Dan, Lomas here. How are you, my good
Lomas.
Man? Hey, it's good hearing from you. Look, I did a function out there 1 year with Dave Rosemont. He used to go and pitch to corporations, and they got a chance to hit at the stadium. And Dan, I walked all the way out to center field, and it was like, oh my goodness. It was just so far, man. So now my question is, how's the wall being moved in? Advantages, disadvantages for the team? How do you see that playing out for the Tigers this year?
I see it playing out. Because I walked it too when they announced it and they put a blue line where the new wall is going to be, and you realize it's still a long way.
Yes.
Center field. I was surprised at how little it felt like it was shrinking the ballpark. But what it will do, because I've talked to the Riley Greens and the Spencer Torkelsons of the world, the guys who have the power to go to that part of the ballpark for a home run, they actually feel like it's going to help them. And Scott Harris made mention of this. Their psyche standing at home plate is, I've got to absolutely muscle it up to get it out to center field, which is what I like to use the big part of the field. And once you start muscling up, forget it. That's when you don't have your fluid, easy swing that can drive the ball. So for hitters, it's a real thing to bring it in 10 feet. I don't think it's going to change how the ballpark plays very much at all. Maybe the biggest change will be in right center. That's triples alley. And as A.J. Hinch said, you know, it shouldn't be a stand-up triple, right? There should be some tension about whether it's actually going to be a triple. And it was a stand-up triple if you hit it to right center. Mm-hmm. Now that it's a 7-foot fence, I picture more balls one-hopping the fence for doubles, ground rule doubles, and I picture a few more home runs and Riley Green robbing a few home runs because the fence in the right center is going to be 7 feet and not 13 feet. So I think the changes will be good, but I'm telling you, it's going to still play big. Pitchers still have a place to go to in terms of, you know, this is your home ballpark. You got to take advantage. I can pitch to this part of the ballpark. I can go ahead, let a guy make good contact and know it's going to be an out because it's still the third biggest outfield in all of baseball.
Dan, this is Mark Hollis. It's great to have you on the show today.
Morning, Mark.
Good morning. I was looking through some of the notes, and frankly, I was quite stunned that you you're creating a legacy of your own. You started play-by-play in 2002, and it seems like just yesterday that you did that. I'd like to take you back a little bit even before that, 1999, I believe it was. You were asked by Ernie Harwell to call one inning of action of the Tigers. give me just that snippet of a half of inning of Dan Dickerson and the Detroit Tigers.
I get chills every time I talk about it, Mark. So it's the last game at Tiger Stadium. I'm doing pre and post with the legendary Steve Courtney every game. I mean, we've been doing this for a couple of years. And so I had asked, at some point during 99 or given somebody a tape of the Tigers, like, hey, if Ernie ever gets sick, he'd miss three games in 50 years. I'm here at the ballpark, and just in case. Like, okay. But what it led to was the last game, they're like, hey, would you like to sit in with Ernie the last three innings? I was asked this a couple of weeks before. I said, sure, what am I supposed to do? Because, I'm not going to be a color guy for Ernie Harwell. They're like, yeah, you can just sit in there for the last three innings because Jim's going to go and get ready for the postgame ceremony, Jim Price. So I said, sure. So I go into the booth on that day, not really knowing anything other than I'm going to be sitting in from the top of the seventh to the end of the game, adding what? I don't know. I'm not going to say much. It's Ernie's last three innings. So I'm standing there listening to the two of them in like the third and fourth, tiny little booth at Tiger Stadium. Jim's doing the play-by-play in the middle inning. So Ernie stands up and he goes, so what's the plan here? I'm going, great. Nobody's told Ernie why I'm standing behind him listening to everything that's going on. I said, well, I think I'm supposed to join you in the top of the seventh and stay out of your way till the end of the game. He goes, you want to do an inning? I'm like, oh, my gosh. I said, no, it's your last three innings. He goes, you want to do an inning? I'm like, okay. I'm not going to say no twice because I was ready. I was ready to do an inning if needed.
Awesome.
So I said, sure. He said, okay, here's what we'll do. I'll come back. I'll do the top of the seventh. I'll introduce you to the bottom of the seventh, and you do the bottom of the seventh and the top of the eighth, the last three innings at Tiger Stadium. He gives me one of the three innings on this most historic day. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Every time I think about it, what it's selfless act this was, because it changed everything for me in my career. I mean, I'd never done baseball. I'd never done minor league baseball. All I'd done was practice baseball. And then he gives me that inning, and I don't think it's any question, it helped get me into the booth the next year. But the experience with all those flash bulbs going off, and everybody crying, it's so emotional, saying goodbye to Tiger Stadium. And he gives me that one inning, and it was just an amazing, amazing day.
It speaks a lot about Ernie, and quite frankly, speaks a lot about what they saw in a young Dan Dickerson.
That's
because
right.
I'll tell you, you're the best in the business, and
Absolutely.
We're lucky to have you. Real quick, I want to ask you about this team. I think Torque, Green, and then obviously Javi. This is going to be, however they play this year, feels like how the team's going to perform. We got a pretty good pitching from the team last year, both from their starters rotation and then the back end. But how do you see this season playing out for this team?
So to say the offense is going to be better is a low bar, right? So it's going to be not just better. It's going to be a lot better. And I go right to Green and Torkelson. I just think, they've made a lot of changes in the coaching staff. And you're like, what does that do? Believe me, the hitting department now with three guys, it's going to make a difference. Those two, you got some talent to work with. If you had no talent to work with, I wouldn't be saying this. But let's remember how good Torkelson and Green, how highly thought of they were going into last year. Two of the best hitting prospects in baseball. They're going to be impact bats this year. So keep an eye on Kerry Carpenter. This kid can hit with power, and it's legit power that will play at the major league level. You hope for the bounce back from Javi Baez. I don't think that's unreasonable to think that's going to happen at age 30. And I think certainly Austin Meadows at 28 can still hit 25 home runs. He's done it twice. So the offense is better. But I just think that you've got a lot of youthful energy in. You've got some talent. You've got a real upside on the offensive side. And then think on the pitching side, A.J. Hinch manages a bullpen probably as well as any manager in the game. He's going to build a bullpen, so whatever concerns there are there, just believe me, A.J. Hinch has got that. And then it's all to me, guys, about the starting pitching and the health. It's a pretty good rotation on paper. Everybody has health questions except for Eduardo Rodriguez. But Spencer Turnbull coming back, watch this guy. The stuff is good. Eduardo Rodriguez looks like he's primed for a really good year. And I think those two lead the rotation with Matthew Boyd. So there's just a lot to look forward to. I'm out of the business of predicting wins and losses because I'm no good at it.
Smart man.
Yes. It's going to be a better brand of baseball. And you know what else I would say? To watch the managerial decisions in game. We're going to see a lot more moves made early in games compared to past years as they look for the edge at any given moment of the game.
Give my best to L.A., the best prof over there in the College of Communication Arts at Michigan State.
Oh, I will. I certainly will, Mark. Thanks.
All right, Dan, enjoy the season. Can't wait to talk to you throughout.
All right, guys. Really enjoyed being on with you.
Yeah, take care. He is, Dan Dickerson. Got to take a break. More next.